We're continuing our study on the golden lampstand. This is our third study. I'm not sure it'll be the last one. I don't know just how far we'll get this morning because we're going to go slowly. We're on a part of it that, there's a number of things in Scripture that God does not explain to us. He just starts teaching them. I'll give you a good example, the Trinity. God made no effort whatsoever to explain the Trinity. He just started teaching God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We accept that and believe that by faith. Now we're going to look at one of those, and we've already touched on it a little bit in a couple of classes. We'll get to it in just a minute. And I've said back then, I said, please don't ask me to explain it because I can't. God didn't explain it. He knew with our finite mind we couldn't understand it. So I can't even attempt to do that. But we're going to look at it this morning. To me, this is one of the most important lessons in all the Scriptures that Christians need to understand. Let's go ahead and read quickly about the lampstand again. We're in Exodus 25, verse 31. Where God gave Moses instructions to make the lampstand. He said, thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. And we've already covered the candlestick, what that was. It didn't have any candles on it. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls make like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower, so in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs, with their flowers. That's the center of the candlestick. And there shall be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same. All of it shall be beaten work, shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. I've emphasized that again and again, and it can't be emphasized too much. I was talking to somebody about it today. Everybody wants to change things. They think they can improve upon what God has given us to do, and you can't. Is it hot in here to y'all? It is to me. Now, if you think it's undignified that that coat should be worn, you come up and put it on where it. Let me read one verse here again. It said verse 37, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light. We've looked at lessons and pictures of the church, lessons and pictures of the believer, the vine, the branch, and all that. We're looking at lessons that picture the Holy Spirit of God and what part he plays in our life this morning. Does everybody understand there's no candles? The Bible uses the word candlestick. And I explained that in the lesson one. That was a three-pronged tripod that set up called a candlestick. But they set the little bowls on top of it that were filled with oil. And that was lit with a wick in it. And that gave off the light. There's no candles. The name, what that meant in 1600, I don't know. But today, a better understanding would be what we call a lampstand that you put a light on top of, and that's what is pictured here. And we won't go back and study that for time's sake this morning. But we're talking about the oil. Look in Exodus chapter 27, And God gives us a little insight in here about this oil light. Exodus 27 and verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring pure olive oil. You might want to underline the word pure. Pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. Do y'all see the picture now? You've got this three-pronged golden candlestick. They've got this little almond-shaped container on top of it, a little bowl, got a wick in it. And they light that, and the light comes off of the oil burning through that wick. And that was the only light that was inside of that tabernacle in this part of the tabernacle. We covered it before. This represents our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a place of service, and we covered those scriptures. The only light that is in here that God uses to light and empower in a place of service in the local church is that oil that was burned in those on top of that candlestick. This over here is a place of worship. It's not a place of service, and there's no light in here. The light of the oil that represents the Holy Spirit lit this part, but this is lit by what? The Shekinah glory. God said, I'll light. And that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. And we won't study that this morning, but I wanted us to look. And verse 21, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, that is on this side over in the holy place, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord, shall be a statute forever unto the generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. So they used oil, and that oil is symbolic of what? Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at a couple of other verses concerning that oil before we move on, because I'm wanting to emphasize this. Exodus chapter 37. And this needs to be understood. Exodus 37 verse 29. And he made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of an apothecary. Now, look over in Leviticus chapter 24. You'll see that this is emphasized, and anytime God emphasizes something two or three times, you and I need to take note of it. Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 2, he said, command the children of Israel that they should bring unto thee what? It can't be like a lot of things you buy in the store today and it's got additives in it. God said, don't add anything to this oil except what I tell you. He said, you bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. Do y'all pick up and see again and again God refers to that as the tabernacle of the congregation, the holy place? That's a picture of the local church today. This part of the tabernacle pictures our service. It pictures the local church where you and I serve God. We said it before. We feed on the bread of the Word of God. We serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we make intercessory prayer. That's the three elements that make our service acceptable to the Lord. And you know the scripture says, except a man strive lawfully, he not be rewarded for it. Good morning to you. I want you to see quickly, look in Leviticus 8:12, that the oil is a symbol of being anointed by the Holy Spirit. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 12, and he poured of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. That was Old Testament. This oil pictures the Holy Spirit of God. They used it in the Old Testament to anoint Aaron and the priests that worked in the holy place or served in the holy place. Now let's go to the New Testament. Look over in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. This is our Lord Jesus talking, being recorded. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me Because he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the same word that's used in the Old Testament for anointing the priest. It's used in the New Testament. The Lord, it started with our Lord Jesus saying him being anointed. Now look over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We're kind of laying a foundation here, but we'll get to where we're going. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Exodus.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all manner that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. Does everybody understand that the oil that was placed in the lampstand, in those bowls that was lit and gave light and illumination for the priest to serve there in the holy place, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament, us, you and I as believers being anointed. Lord Jesus was anointed, and we're going to get to our anointing here at the end of the lesson. Does everybody understand that? That's a picture. That what we're seeing in the Old Testament is a New Testament picture of the Holy Spirit of God empowering, anointing us to do the work that God called us to do. Y'all with me? All right. With that laid, now let's move to a difficult, delicate would be a better word. When our Lord Jesus came to this world, came to this earth, we've touched this before. He came as what we call the God-man. Does everybody understand that? You say, explain that, Ernest. I can't. But when Jesus Christ came, he was as much God as he was not man at all. He was all God, totally God, completely God. But he had a second nature. He was all man. He was so much man that he was not God at all. Now you say, I don't understand that. I don't understand the Trinity either. I don't understand how a cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but nevertheless, I drink milk. I wish I could explain it, but God teaches that. He was here, and he was as much man. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was so much man that he was not God at all. He was so much God that he was not man at all. And how those divided, I don't know, but they do. And that's vitally important in our study this morning. Look in Philippians chapter 2. God explains this, like I said, a lot of, he doesn't explain it, he just states it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's all God, he's as much God as he was not man at all. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him what? The form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So he took on the form of a man, a form of a servant, the likeness of man, fashioned after a man. And if you go on down and read in the next verse, said, and being found in the fashion as a what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died as a man. He was made to be sin for us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Now, God can't be made sin. That's totally impossible. He died as a man to pay my sin debt, pay your sin debt. Now, how you divide those two natures, God didn't tell us that. But again, vitally important. Now, I'm trying to get you a picture. Let me just get a little ahead of myself. Everything that our Lord Jesus did while he was on this earth, he did in the form of a man. He did not do it as God. Now, let me show you that. Jesus Christ was our pattern that God said we're to mold ourselves after, we're to be like. Y'all understand we can't be like God? I wish we could, but we can't. And even in Romans 8:29, who can quote that? God said that we be conformed to the image of His dear Son. In other words, He's saying, I'm giving you a pattern to follow. Go back to the tabernacle. You remember, He said, do it like I said, do it. God gave you and I a pattern to follow. And that pattern was our Lord Jesus Christ as He lived His life on this earth in the form of a man as a servant. God never told us to be like God. God is so holy, so far separated from us, that man can't even look on God and still live. But God said, I'm giving you a pattern, my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He lived His life on this earth in the flesh as a form of a man, as a servant. He said, you pattern after Him. Now you say, Brother Ernst, why is that? Let me give you some scripture here. Matthew 16:24. You're all familiar with that. Matthew 16:24. We'll look at a couple here. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow Me. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You'll see that Paul reiterated that. We may not get to all these scriptures because we want to get to the main. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul said, be ye followers of Me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said, I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm following the pattern that Jesus Christ gave us. You can follow Me as long as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand? You and I are to pattern ourselves after the Lord Jesus Christ as He lived His life here on earth, not as God, but as a man. And again, He was without sin. The Bible says He knew no sin. Vitally important. Again, we're never told that we should be like God. We can't do that. That's totally impossible. Let me give you an example of that so there won't be any misunderstanding. If you take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Repeating again, we're never told in the Word of God anywhere that we are to be like God. That's impossible for you and I. No man's ever seen God at any time. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin in verse number 1. Scripture says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So God tells us through the writing of the pen of the Holy Spirit that we are to be followers of God. But now watch. He gave us a pattern. That's what we've been covering all this lesson. Look in verse 2 and He tells us how we're to do that. He says, and walk in love. Now how are we to do that? He says, as Christ has also loved us. God said, be ye followers of God, and here's the pattern that you're to follow, so you'll be followers of God. You walk in love, and your pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ also have loved us, and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So everything that's done, God has given us a pattern that we can look at and follow and pattern ourselves afterwards, that we have something to come alongside. And we'll cover it a little bit later on, but God not only gave us a pattern, but He gave us the power also to be able to live that pattern. Hebrews chapter 4. You can see in your mind, I hope, the division of what I'm trying to get established for you before we get to the core of it. Y'all familiar with the text, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points, what? Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. How was He tempted? He was tempted as a man. He was tempted as a man. You say, how do you know? Turn to James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. Said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Watch now, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Do y'all see the verification there? Bible's clear, it said God can't be tempted. God's a holy God. He's got no sin nature. He's got no flesh. He's God. He cannot be tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted as a man living in a body of flesh just like you are. Said, yet without sin. Anybody want to explain that to us? I can't, but that's what the scripture teaches. Does everybody see that before we move on? Because again, I keep saying it's important. This is what I want you to see. Our Lord Jesus, when he set an example for us, he set it as what a man can do when he's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Y'all with me? Now let's watch. He did all that he did here to set a pattern and to illustrate to us and to show us what's possible for us. He did all that he did as a man, filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now watch, we're going to read some scriptures. Look at Luke 1:35. We'll look at two scriptures here right quick to start off with. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's talking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Talking to Joseph, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is what? So the Holy Ghost empowered and brought about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a man in this world. Now look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We've already read that, but we'll go back and point out one more quick thing. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, what? With the Holy Ghost and with power. So he was birthed by the Holy Spirit. He received power from God by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21. This is the baptism of our Lord Jesus. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and prayed, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in him in a bodily shape with a dove upon him and a voice from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So we see that when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him and God verified it and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now look in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, just a page over. And Jesus being what? Full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we see that Jesus, the Holy Ghost descended on him. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Then go to Luke chapter 4, verse 14, same page. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. So he went, he was led out, he won a victory over Satan in the wilderness, and he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he went on to explain what his ministry was going to be here. So he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all getting the picture? He did everything that he did as a man, using the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that he told us, be not drunk with wine, but be ye what? Filled with the Spirit. He said, you're supposed to be like me. And the only way you can be like me is if you'll be obedient to my word. You'll present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and be filled. What's the word filled mean?
Control.
Control by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go and look at the rest of it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Matthew 12, verse 22 through 28. I probably should have narrowed that down. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, of whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. We've gone on too far, but we end there in verse 28. He said, so he, our Lord Jesus Christ, won a victory in the wilderness over Satan by the power of the Holy Spirit. He cast out demons and overcame evil. He said, I cast out by the Spirit of God. So again and again, we see that the Holy Spirit of God is anointing him as a man to do what he did here on earth. Now turn to Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So he was brought into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with power by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received power from the Holy Spirit. He defeated Satan by the power of the Holy Spirit. He cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. He offered himself through his blood to the Holy Spirit. Now look in Romans 8 and 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. How was he raised from the dead? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Paul's saying if the Spirit of God can raise up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, he dwells in you. He can empower you to do what God wants you to do on this earth. And unless, let's look back. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. That'll be the last verse. We'll make an application. All of this was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So Isaiah, back in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, prophesied everything that you and I have just looked at in these seven or eight different texts that we've just looked at. Now you say, Brother Ernest, what point are you trying to make? I'm trying to make the point that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ here. He took on the form of a man. He lived in a body of flesh just like you and I did. He didn't have a sin nature. And then God empowered him to do all that he did on this earth as a man in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, go to page 2. In other words, God is showing us a picture of how he wants us to serve him. He doesn't want us to serve him in our flesh using worldly methods. But look at the verse. It's printed here out, so you don't need to turn to it. John 14:12. Well, let's turn over there. Let's turn over there because there's two or three verses right there. John 14:12. You're familiar with these texts. It's nothing new to you. Our Lord Jesus is still here, still living in the body of flesh, the form of a man. And he's preparing for his departure. And he's trying to encourage and strengthen the disciples to do the work that he's leaving them to do. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, who is the comforter? Does everybody know? That's the Holy Spirit. If you don't see that, look up in verse number 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. But go back to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And again, he goes on in verse number 26. We read the rest of it, tells what he'll do. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, this is what he'll do, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Are y'all with me, the picture? The Lord Jesus he did all that he did to set a pattern for us for 3 years in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, now I'm going away. But I'm not going to leave you all by yourself to carry on the work that I've given you to do. When I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God to comfort, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to dwell in you, and he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to empower you to do all things. Now go on down to chapter 14. Look down in verse 12. I checked these scriptures so many times, I thought I had every one of them right. It said John 14:16-17, but I've just repeated that. Let me go back. Go back to John 14:12. I had them right. Go back to 14:12. Again, the Lord Jesus is talking. This should clear up how important this lesson is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, watch now, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And then he gave them the promise without any break in the scriptures. He said, you're going to be able to do the works that I do, and you're going to be able to do greater works than I do. Why? Because I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you. He's saying, you've seen what God did through me here in a body of flesh under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to depart to the Father, but the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to indwell in you. And because of that, he said, the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these. That ought to challenge you and I past our imagination, that God has empowered us with the full embodiment of the Holy Spirit of God, that God was so used of our Lord Jesus Christ here and set us a pattern and example. He said, I'm showing you what can be done. He said, now I'm wanting you to know that the Holy Spirit of God is going to come and be with you, and he's going to dwell in you. And because of that, you can do all the works that I've done, and greater works can you do. If you will fully, totally, completely die to yourself and let the Holy Spirit of God fill you and control you and have total, complete control of everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. Are y'all getting the picture? Whew. That's unbelievable, Jeff. I've never thought about the fact that you and I can do all the things that our Lord Jesus Christ done. You say, can you raise the dead? I never have. I'm not going to try either. But there's nothing that says you can't. God said, if you got enough faith, you can say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will move. I hadn't moved any mountains, and that's because I don't have enough faith. But it is possible. I don't know what that does for you. That embarrasses me. That embarrasses me is how little we've done when we've got all the power of God dwelling within us to enable us to do the works that he did. And he said greater works. I can't fathom that. I can't explain that. But I believe it. I wish I could practice it. But God gave us a pattern. Let me just finish up with one verse. If you got any questions about it, go to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. I'm sure you're familiar with this. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I said a while ago, God mixed that all up and he gave Moses the exact instructions and ingredients to go in that holy oil, anointing oil. It was added with sweet spices. But he said, you don't make any additives to it. What was God showing Moses, and what's it a picture of to you and I? We serve God. We don't need to add any worldly activities to it. Well, we got churches doing that in a big way. Entertainment. God hates that sort of thing. God hates that sort of thing. Because then we say, oh, you know what we did at our church? God wants us to say, do you know what the Holy Spirit of God did through us? Y'all understand that God wants all the glory for everything that's done. And the only way he can get that is when we'll serve him acceptably through the power of the Holy Spirit, to where you and I can't explain how it happened, but we saw it happen. And we say, God did a great thing. We got people today boasting about all they've done for God in churches. Phew. That's sad. So let's sum this up, all that we've studied up to this point so far, and where we've covered that everything that the Lord Jesus did while he was here on earth, the Bible said he took on the form of a man. He lived the same life that you and I live without a sin nature. But everything that he did was in the anointing, the leading, the guidance, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And then when he departed, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send you another comforter. And that comforter, as all of you know here, is the Holy Spirit. So let's sum it up. God gave us two things as believers. He said, one, I'm giving you a pattern to pattern your life after. Now, I don't know that we've said this before, but people talk about living the Christian life. Living the Christian life is totally impossible. Anybody that thinks they can live the Christian life in the power of the flesh is badly, badly deceived. That's a total impossibility. But there is a way for you and I as believers to live the Christian life and live it in a way that's pleasing to God. Two things. Again, God said, I've given you a pattern. You can look at the Lord Jesus Christ and pattern your life after his. And then number two, God gave us the power to pattern our life after Jesus Christ. We couldn't do it without this. He gave us the power. He said, you'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll anoint you. He'll teach you all things. He'll deliver you from the evil one. Everything that our Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here in the form of a man, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm giving you the same power that will enable you to live the pattern that I've given you in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did all that he did in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he made that available to you and I. It's there for the asking. Jesus said, be ye not drunk with wine, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I give you a good example. It's on a human level. But anybody can go down and take a stepladder on Beale Street and get up on top of it and preach the gospel to Beale Street. Better have the Holy Spirit of God. I wouldn't go without it. I'm just giving you a human example. We got a man in here who does that. Y'all know that. I hate to say this, because I do it with fear and trembling. Has anybody got any questions? I probably can't answer them, so it's probably better you don't have. But y'all understand we accept some things by faith. God gave us clear scripture that God empowered his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it had to be as a human in order for us to pattern after. We can't pattern after God. That's ridiculous. God didn't even tell us anything about himself. He said, except I'm holy. You can't even look on me. Yeah, I knew you had one.
Well, you're talking about how Jesus, a man. But I just thought about the woman as well. When she came, he already knew everything about her. Now, did he learn that from gossip? Or did God put it in his heart?
I don't have any idea.
See, that's something that we can't do unless somebody tells us.
Has to be of the Holy Spirit. And when we use the term man, that's a genetic term for man-woman. Doesn't mean that women can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm assuming everybody knows that, but hope that's understood. I hope you'll be challenged by what God showed us here in this lampstand and burning this pure oil. And that was the only light in that place of service. God help us that we don't bring in any artificial light and try to serve and please God in the flesh. Praise God in the power of the Holy Spirit.